The summer of 1958, and WAKY hit the Louisville airwaves. But before Wacky occupied the 790 spot on the AM dial, WGRC was there, and so was James Marion. James, when did you come to WGRC?
It was in 1957.
So you were there a year before the switch to WAKY?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And were you an engineer there?
Yes, control engineer.
What was a control engineer? What exactly did you do?
We did work in the studio for the DJs and so forth.
So you actually spun the records and played the commercials instead of the DJ doing it?
Yeah, they just told us what to do.
Was WGRC in the Kentucky Home Life building at the time?
I think it is, yes. I was under the impression it was a bank building, but I guess that's it. That's right, because being going in and out like at 12 o'clock at night when we closed up, if it'd been a bank building, I think they wouldn't have let us in or out.
What kind of radio station was WGRC?
The announcers, we had played some religious music, and they had some religious programs on Sunday just about all day. And then they had quartets that we recorded and played back, and we played different types of music. When I started there, I was started on the night shift, and the DJ I had, the announcer I had, I can't remember his name, but he wound up going up here to Cincinnati to WCKY.
Was WGRC a network affiliate?
Yes, and I'm thinking it is. Was the Mutual Broadcasting Company. It had some remotes, and the gentleman that I had the remotes with, it went to a jewelry place in Lexington. And he was a well-known figure, but they found him dead. They didn't know whether he committed suicide or somebody had killed him or something.
All right, let's talk about the transition from WGRC to Wacky. Who owned WGRC when you were there?
It was a group from Indiana, and they were pretty religious people. And I think that's the reason we had a lot of religious stuff on the air.
All right, WGRC became Wacky in 1958, in July of that year.
Yeah.
When did you guys know that that was going to happen? Was it right before, or did they let you
know
a couple of months behind?
I don't know if anybody in the station even knew it, except the owners. One morning we came in to work, and there was a gentleman at the door, asked you what position you had. We said, well, okay, engineer, control engineer. Okay, go ahead and go to work. And as the other people come in, the ones they didn't want, they told them they were dismissed.
So it was a big secret, huh?
Yes. And I mean, it surprised everybody that morning.
Well, you got to stay and be part of the new Wacky radio station. Were there any other announcers or news people that were able to stay?
One announcer was the one I had at night.
So they met you at the door and said, you could go, you can stay if you want to. Was that the day that the station changed format?
Yes.
You went up to the control room, and what did they say? Did they introduce you, I guess, to the new guy and say, this is what you're going to do?
Just went with the old one, and we didn't get introduced to the new ones until a little bit later on. I was switched back to the day shift, early shift, in the morning. Then we went on at 7 o'clock, and I had Jack Sanders, and after Jack Sanders was Al Dunaway. That was the first morning shows up until 12 o'clock. And then I'd left the board, and the new guy would come on.
So Wacky actually started at 7 o'clock in the morning?
Yes.
And what did they tell you to do?
They come in, and they gave us a purple people eater and said, every time that the announcer tells you to play it, play it. So went in, and we started playing it. The announcer come on, give a little bit of news, back to the purple people eater, and we played that. I think it was almost for 24 hours. And when they got done with that, then the DJ came on and announced himself and started on with Wacky.
So it was 24 hours. We've heard different stories that the Purple People Eater was played for 2 days. Even Don Keyes, when I interviewed him, he was the national program director for McClendon, and supposedly he was the guy that came to town and brought all the new jingles and new music and stuff like that. He said it went on for 72 hours, but you remember it just being 24 hours.
Right, right.
And what was the reaction from the people who normally listen to WGRC?
Well, our phone was ringing off the hook, and you would answer it, And they would say, what are you guys doing? We used to say, well, just keep listening. And a lot of them says, well, I'm not turning it off until you quit playing it. So.
Now, did the announcer always say, here's Purple People Eater, or did he announce another song?
No, he didn't. He announced something else, and we'd throw that on.
And was the station still WGRC when the Purple People Eater started, or was it identified as wacky?
I don't recall. I don't know if we went to the new callers. I don't think they did until the DJs come on.
Okay, so basically it was just, I'm Jack Sanders, good morning, how you doing? And now here's Ed Ames or somebody, and then he would play the Purple People Eater again.
Well, no, we didn't have the announcers until we quit playing the Purple People Eater. They were the stop point. When they come on, we quit playing it.
So how many copies of Purple People Eater did you have? Did you have one for each of the turntables?
Yeah, we had one for each turntable. We had four turntables with the old Westinghouse board.
And I tell you what, you guys really worked hard back then because cart machines didn't come into existence until the early 60s, and you really got the name disc jockeys, queuing up those records and keeping everything going with the commercials and stuff on acetate. I guess only a few things were actually on reel-to-reel tape.
Yeah, reel-to-reel, and then we cut our own disc on 78, the commercials.
How long did you continue to be a control operator?
Until they shut us out and we left.
And was that a few months, a few years?
I think it was, we came up here in 60, so it was just before that.
Now, did the control operator work with a wacky disc jockey 24 hours a day?
No, they had a thing, it's a transmitter. They had a name for it. I can't recall what the name of it was.
Was it Sam Seberg?
They used to play the music from 12 until 7, and then the jockeys would take over.
Oh, okay, so it was automated
right.
with the transmitter.
That's what cost us our job, really.
Automation. Well, you know, radio automation has cost many a disc jockey a job over the years and still continues to do so. Okay, I want to read something that was published in the 1958 edition of Billboard. It was a small article. It said, Psychological Ear Irritation. Louisville, Kentucky, station WAKY, formerly WGRC, here lived up to its new call letters last week via a day-long programming binge wherein its disc jockeys played practically nothing but the Purple People Eater meets the Witch Doctor. Every hour or so, to give an ears a change, the jocks played Jim Backus's equally wacky waxing delicious. The gimmick was utilized to kick off Wacky under its new owner, Gordon McClendon. Philosophy behind the gag, said McClendon, was that people get completely disgusted. They tune away to another station. Then they wonder if they're still doing that on the other station, so they tune back. Now, that's one of the mysteries that we've had, because at that time, the Purple People Eater meets the Witch Doctor was a song by Joe South, and it was a current song at the time. But everybody that we've talked to says that was not the song. It was indeed the Purple People Eater by Sheb Woolley. Can you confirm that?
Now, that I can't remember which one it was.
Okay, so it'll still be a mystery.
Yes.
All right, well, either way, it was one wacky promotion. You work with a lot of great disc jockeys there in the early days of WAKY, including probably the most notorious was Jack Sanders. Do you remember any funny or interesting stories about working with Jack Sanders?
Yeah, well, McClendon, when he took over, he wanted all the engineers and the DJs to get to know each other, go out and have drinks and so forth. So we did that for about 2 weeks, getting acquainted with everybody. The only thing that I know of at the time was when his wife left him because of another lady, so I don't know if they ever got back together or not, because we left before we found out. But then we found out later that he had died with a heart attack. So,
yeah, much later, he went down to Nashville and worked there for a while after WAKY in Louisville. So he had some serious health problems due to, no doubt, wild and wacky living, no pun intended. Did you always work with Jack Sanders, or did you work with different disc jockeys?
Well, I had Al Dunaway and Jim Lightfoot. Jim Lightfoot was one. We had a Sunoco commercial, and he would read it. He would call it Sunco. I kept saying, no, Jim. I said, it's Sunoco. So he finally called on.
Yeah. Did you work with Ricky Ware?
Yeah.
Now, when I talked to Ricky Ware, he said he was the first guy that came on the air at Wacky, but you're saying it was Jack Sanders.
I think it was Jack Sanders. I'm pretty sure.
That was a long time ago. And
yes, it is.
Yeah, I can barely remember what I did this morning, much less 50 years ago. Over 50 years ago now for Welcome.
Yeah, it's hard. Just certain things seem like they pop back and then they go, and especially with my age.
Was it more fun working at Wacky than it was at WGRC?
Had more stress on you at Wacky because they did not allow not one iota of dead air. I mean, you had to be on top of everything, and when that hit, you better have it right on it. If there was dead air, the program director would come in and say, What happened?
Now, this picture that your daughter sent me, that doesn't look like the control board of Wacky that I've seen. Is that exactly the Wacky control room, or was that a transmitter site or another radio station?
That was a GRC control room.
Oh, okay. Was it in a different room than Wacky?
Yes.
So they used a different studio.
Yeah, well, see, we moved upstairs. They put a new Gates board in, and everybody had to go up and get acquainted with the new board before they let us go up. And so then we went up there and started our broadcasting from upstairs.
Now, I know that Wacky had engineers in the production department, the union engineers producing all the commercials, but I learned something today talking to you that everybody had control operators. I thought that in a market the size of Louisville that the disc jockeys would run their own boards, but you're saying that wasn't the case.
No, not when they started, no. Wasn't until it was around the first of 1960 that we had to give the board up. We fought to try to keep the board, and the ones that was at the transmitter, they didn't want to come in to do the board or anything. So we said, well, we'll just give it up. So that's what happened. In fact, there was one fellow that was the control engineer. He was there 14 years and got it whacked.
Let's talk about some of the promotions or crazy stunts that you might remember. Unfortunately, there's very little recordings of the first few years of Wacky, so we're just going by what we see in trade magazines and newspapers and folks' memories.
I remember one where they were supposed to plant something that was valuable. I think it was, I can't remember if it was a ring or what, but it was worth quite a bit of money at that time. And they would give a clue once a day at different times of the day. And they kept on doing that until the person found the item.
Did you spend much time with Gordon McClendon? Did you get a chance to meet him and go out with him?
I met him a couple of times, but never did get to go out with him, no. They didn't associate with the engineers too much. We were sort of a group of our own.
What about Don Keyes, the national program director from McClendon? Did he deal with you guys at all?
I don't recall him, no.
Okay, he was just there at the beginning, I suppose.
Yeah, he probably was, yeah. See, there was quite a few people around that was running around, I guess, for the first 2 or 3 weeks. And then after that, you very seldom saw any of them.
Did you eventually learn how to do more technical stuff, like working on equipment and transmitters and such?
No, I worked on radios and televisions, recorders and stuff like that.
What was your favorite thing about working at WAKY?
I don't know. It was just a fun place to work. It was a lot of pressure, but it was fun.
And what was a typical day for you at Wacky? What was a typical day like?
You get up in the morning and you come in and the DJ will give you the program for his hours. Like they would spend 3 hours at a time. And we had to get all of the records out. We had to get all the commercials situated where we'd go from one to the other. And with the new Gates board, we only had two turntables. So we would put the records on one and the commercials on the other, except for the ones that are on tape.
Wow, only two turntables. That took a lot of work with all the commercials pretty much being on ET.
Especially if you're playing the 33 and the third one that try to pick out the song in the middle and get it queued up in a hurry.
Oh, man, yeah. You never started a record at the wrong speed, did you, James?
No.
Well,
I don't remember.
You're the only person that's ever worked with turntables.
I think everybody in the station would have been in there.
Did you get a lot of feedback from the programming department, or was it pretty much just you and the DJ communicating?
Just us and the DJs.
Nobody sent you any memos about breaking format or anything like that?
No.
Would the disc jockey take a break in the middle of the shift and say, hey, you just take care of it for the next 30 minutes or so? Would that ever happen?
No.
That would never happen?
When they sit down there, they stayed there for the 3 hours up, and that was it.
Could you tell by working there as an engineer that the radio station was making an impact on the Louisville market, especially with what WGRC had done?
Yes. Had a big impact, yes. We had an impact of people that were even out of Louisville. I had one come to me from Cumberland, Kentucky, and he had listened to our floor mat, and he asked me, he says, could you sit me and tell me how to do that?
Did you meet any famous folks dropping by the radio stations to plug records or events?
Yeah, we did. There was quite a few of them, especially when they bring their records in for us to play them, and they would go out with the DJs and have lunch and so forth and talk them into playing it.
What about payola, which was going on at that time? Was there any of that going around at WAKY or WGRC?
No.
Well, I'm sure the statutes of limitations have expired on that, so you could tell us the truth there, James.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm serious, because I really don't know. I mean, I know that we're going out to eat and stuff like that, so what they did then, I don't know.
All right, so you generally worked with two disc jockeys in one day? Two three-hour shifts?
Two of them.
Was there a break between them?
No.
Oh, okay, so you worked a straight 6 hours on the air, huh?
Right.
Any other duties at the radio station besides getting prepared for the DJ shifts before you started?
No, except when some of the DJs would be looking for a job elsewhere, they would want us to cut a tape for them, and we would do that and give it to them and let them send it out.
Now, the disc jockeys couldn't touch the equipment at the time, could they?
No.
And you were a union engineer?
Yes.
Okay.
If you can call it union.
Why do you say that?
Well, when we was trying to keep the board, our union rep come from Detroit. She came down, and she talked to the people who's run the station, and she come in and talked to us. And she says, well, says, if you go ahead and leave, says, we'll find every one of you a job. We guarantee it. So then when we give up the board, guess what? We never saw her again or heard from any of them.
Yeah.
I mean, they just put you out to pasture, and that was it.
But they were glad to collect your union dues, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I'm sure they had no problem spending those.
That's exactly right.
All right, well, anything else that you could think of you'd like to talk about with your memories of working at WGRC or WAKY?
I think when I first started there, I was actually part-time at night, and Jim Johnson was one of the engineers. Well, he's the one that was breaking me in. And after about 2 weeks, he came over and he says, you know, he says, I didn't think you was going to make it. but he said, but you turned out okay.
Now, James, what if I set you down in front of a Gates board with a couple of turntables now? You think you could pull off a radio show?
I don't know. I doubt it. I may be able to get the first two off. That's about it.
Okay. You probably still remember how to cue up records, right?
Oh, yeah.
Now, almost every DJ I've talked to has had the nightmare, even years after they have left the broadcasting business, about dead air on their radio station. They can't get anything to work. They can't find any records to cue up. They can't find any tapes that work right. You, as a board op, did you ever have a dream like that?
Yes. In fact, I had one after we came up here to Cincinnati. I jumped up in the bed and was playing records, changing from one to the other, and jumped out of bed and hit my head on the side of the door frame.
Oh, man.
My wife said, boy, you was in bad shape.
79 WAKY.